This is a podcast from the John Gambling Show on News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Log on to WOR710.com for more information.
He thinks the commonality between the two proposals overlaps quite a bit. Obviously, he'll be involved with House and Senate leaders in working through the last remaining details that have to be ironed out.
There are a lot more chapters to be written in the health care, the national health care, the reconciliation of the Senate and the House bills. That will be the fight, the first part of 2010. Good morning, everybody. 17 now before 7 o'clock. You know where I stand on health care, national health care. Bad, bad, horrible idea. It has so many downsides and unintended consequences that we haven't even dreamed about. One man has started to dream about them, nightmarish, possibly. His name is Daniel Pukowski. He is an author. He's written a brand new book. It's called Universal Coverage. It is a novel. Hello there, Dan. Good morning.
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me.
All right. Now, you've had some experience for this book. It is a novel, but you have taken sort of the world around us that we've spent the last 12 months talking about. Some people have been living national health care in other countries for years, and you've turned it into fiction.
That's correct, John. What I did was I travel extensively throughout Europe, parts of the Caribbean and South America. I've seen what goes on in those locations. But I've also taken a look at the health care discussion, debate, the bills that are pending in the Senate and that just passed in the Senate and the House bill. And that's been condensed into a novel form because I feel that that puts a human face on all this jargon that we're seeing in the sort of political speak world.
Yes, and also the political speak over the last 12 months and what we're going to be hearing for at least the first part of 2010 is designed in many, many ways, if not right from the beginning, to cover up, to sort of misdirect us from what really is going to happen with universal health care.
I agree with you there, John. And one of the things that I did in Universal Coverage was to show the nuts and bolts of what a system could possibly look like. Although it is fiction, there is a ton of fact in here. I've interviewed at least 36 doctors. One of my best friends that I travel with all the time is an emergency room doctor. And they've given me great insight into how the inside of these systems works.
All right, go ahead. Finish up.
Go ahead. You go ahead.
I was just going to say, tell me the story. Give me the thumbnail sketch here of what happens in this story.
The thumbnail sketch is a young couple. They have a son. He's 11 years old, and he collapses on the baseball field one day. And when these parents were college students, they rallied for universal health care, and they wanted the whole country, everybody was going to have the best care possible. But once their son falls down on the baseball field, they get immersed in the system that they thought they wanted so badly. And from that point on, it's a series of bureaucracy, of delay, of uncertainty, incompetence, all the things that we see in government-run systems. So the alternative is, however, the hope is that there's a private hospital ship off the coast of Cape May, New Jersey, founded by a very entrepreneurial doctor. And the choice that they're faced with is, do we wait for the government to do, you know, what we hope they're going to do? Or do we go out there and get that care right away?
As I understand it, that there is a similar system or similar environment in England where those, if you've got a lot of money, you can pretty much buy any medical service you need.
That's correct, John. What happens in England and is also going to start happening here in the United States is that there's two tiers. You pay your taxes, so you're paying into a universal coverage system. However, there's so many delays and such incompetence that many people do not avail themselves of that system. So then they pay again in sort of a cash and carry way. They go to the private clinics, they come to the United States, or for example, a famous Indian heart surgeon is just getting ready to build a 2,000-bed hospital on Grand Cayman Island. So it won't be long before New Yorkers will be flying to Grand Cayman to get their open heart surgery.
Interestingly enough, to bring this into reality, that there is a private doctor hospitals are eliminated under the Senate bill. They're not allowed to exist.
And that's what happens in my novel, Universal Coverage. The government makes it illegal for you to go outside the system. If you go outside of the system as either a patient or a doctor, you're fined and you're banished from the system. So therefore, you would have no coverage. And of course, that frightens everyone.
Well, of course it does, because the whole point of this is to have universal health care, right? I mean, well, that everybody, I mean, what Washington is telling us is the whole point here is to get those that don't have the coverage, coverage.
That's what Washington tells us, John. But Washington tells a lot of tall tales. And I'm not convinced that this is about health care at all. I think this is about something else. And it's not showing up because no one's talking about covering everyone anymore. They're talking about tens of millions are still not going to be covered under this bill. So my question is, what good is it?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I've been asking this question for 12 months. What is the point of all of this? If the president has said he got 95% of what he wanted in this Senate bill. And if that's the case in December, what happened to what he wanted in January when he wanted to make sure that all Americans had health care coverage?
Well, John, I can't answer for the President of the United States, but we can look at the evidence. And the evidence shows that this bill is a failure. It does not achieve the president's own stated goals. It does not achieve the goal of giving Americans more choice, more competition. What it does do is it spends several trillion dollars. There's the claim that it's less than $1 trillion. However, we know how the math works in Washington. I guess that's the new math. And as we go forward, it just seems like a bill designed to spend money. And by the way, you know, if you read the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, it talks about how all people are created equal, except if you're a longshoreman or from Nebraska, then you're a little more equal than others. Isn't that how the story
reads? Well, that's what we saw unveiled last week with the deals that were cut in Nebraska and in some of the other states as well. You said that you didn't think that the health care bill was designed as a health care bill, but as something else. What's the something else?
Well, this is pure speculation, John. I want to say that up front. But the evidence points to me. It points to consolidation of government power. They're taking over a huge portion of our lives. Your health care is a big portion of your life, particularly as you get older. When you're young, you're invincible. You're healthy. You can do anything. And you don't think about getting your knee replaced or having open heart surgery until much later in life. And they're going to be taking over that portion of life, of our lives. And at that point, they're going to be doling out the favors, John. And they are really going to be in control. And the middle class particularly thinks that this is not going to affect them. If you're the average guy, you have health coverage through your employer, you're like, oh, I'm not going to be affected. The president said I'm not going to be affected. But the government is now involved. And once they are involved, John, you know that the guy who pays the piper calls the tune. And that's going to be a terrible tragedy, as we see in England, as we see in Canada. The delays. That's just one component, well, the inavailability of medication.
Dan, the only way to reduce the cost, and once the government has the responsibility of the costs, they are the only way they're going to be able to control it. There is only one way, and that is to control the amount of services delivered to the people. And if it's too high, if it's too expensive at the present day level, they're just going to have to reduce it, and then we all are going to get less than what we paid for and what we expected. Dan, I think you're right on the money on universal coverage, with universal coverage, and I wish you the best of luck with it.
Thanks for having me, John.
You bet. Dan Putkowski, the author of Universal Coverage.
You've been listening to a podcast from the John Gambling Show on News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Log on to WOR710.com for more information.